We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Back to week two of our Creature Features series. Last week we talked about the blob, the intergalactic gelatinous goo.
Yeah!
Guys, I had so much trouble saying gelatinous goo last week. At first I said gelatinous Jew, and then that felt like I was being racist, and then I was like gelatinous goo. Last week we talked about the blob, and I'm glad I don't have to say gelatinous goo anymore. All right. But this blob, it tried to eat the entire world. If you missed it, please go check it out on our website, redemption-church.com/sermons. All of our sermons are up there. You're at Redemption Church, and we're really glad you're here. I'm Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here, and I welcome you. You could be in the room or perhaps watching on the internet. Today, I'd like to say hi to Sam. There's a lady named Sam that lives out in Arlington. You spoke to me today, and you just checked out all of our Revelation series and the Margin series, and you shared it with a bunch of your friends on Pinterest. Isn't that exciting? I love that. You made my day. Thank you for talking to me, Sam. Last week, we asked you, do you believe in monsters? Right. And we even had you write in, and a lot of you, we were really surprised, wrote that Freddy Krueger was the one monster you don't want to run into. Freddy Krueger, a large portion of you. So be on the lookout. Maybe some October we have a Nightmare on Elm Street sermon series. Took that away in your head. I thought that was really interesting. All right. Last week we told you that the Bible actually points out a lot of monsters. Your Bible believes in monsters. You have the behemoth. You have a bunch of angry giants in the book of Revelation. You have the beasts, and you have the four horsemen. You have the Leviathan. You have the dragon. Your Bible believes in monsters. Today we're going to talk about a monster you've probably heard of, Frankenstein. What do you think of when you hear the name Frankenstein? Just get a mental image in your head. Probably you think of a large, lumbering monster. It doesn't quite have words, right? Is that your picture of Frankenstein? Bolts in its neck, and he's made from a bunch of dead body parts. He kind of has a flat head, and he's not very smart. Is that your picture of Frankenstein? Is that your picture? The majority of people, when they hear the name Frankenstein, think of this version. And this version comes from the 1931 Boris Karloff film. It's a horror movie classic. But not many know that Frankenstein is originally based on an 1813 novel by Mary Shelley. That's a long time ago. That's 200 years ago. Mary Shelley. In 1813, Mary had a competition with her friends. It included Percy Shelley, who would become her husband, Lord Byron, and John Polidori. And they had this competition to see who could write the scariest horror story. And when they read Frankenstein, they all agreed Mary Shelley, hands down, won the competition. It's still regarded as one of the great scary stories ever written. Mary Shelley's 1813 novel is very different from the 1931 Boris Karloff film, and it's also very different from your public perception. So let's point out some of these differences we're going to preach on today. Let's start here. Frankenstein is not the name of the monster. This is a big deal, all right? Frankenstein's not the name of the monster. But when we say Frankenstein, in fact, we look at the monster, we go, oh, look, it's Frankenstein. Frankenstein is It's the doctor, it's the scientist, Dr. Victor Frankenstein. The monster is correctly referred to as Frankenstein's monster. And it was not madness that drove Victor Frankenstein to create the monster. In the 1931 film, you picture this guy, he's running around and he's driven by madness to create this guy. And he's like, oh yes, oh, we're going to get, and he's like this mad scientist, right? But in the novel, he was a perfectly smart individual who wanted to make a better world, wanted to build a better man. And it wasn't till he created this being that the being drove him to madness, right? That's an important difference. And Mary Shelley's monster was designed to be beautiful. It was designed to be fast, strong, and eloquent in his speech. But upon animating, the beauty became a sick mockery of all the doctor had intended. It didn't turn out like he thought, and he was actually sickened by it. He describes the monster as hideous. And this is far different from Boris Karloff, because that monster was never smart. He was never fast. He was just strong and violent. Strong and violent were the only similarities between Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and Boris Karloff's Frankenstein. Also, there's no hunchback assistants named Igor. The story completely centers on Dr. Frankenstein and the struggle of dealing with what he had brought to life. That is the story of Frankenstein. It is weird to say brought to life, dealing with the thing that the doctor brought to life, because when it comes to Frankenstein's monster, although he's animated, although he moves, although he talks, although he breathes, it's weird to say brought to life because he dead, right? That monster is dead. To make the monster, the doctor went to graveyards and he dug up dead bodies and he used them as spare parts to create the creature. If you had recently died, the doctor was going to go and dig up your casket, open it up, and look what body part he could take from your body to put in the monster. It's a gruesome, gruesome thought. With science and a lightning bolt spark, he was able to bring to life, he was able to bring life to what was dead, or so Victor thought. Although he had brought life to the dead amalgamation of parts, the more Dr. Frankenstein was around his creation, the more he was sickened by what he had created. He ends up abandoning his creation, realizing it was a mistake. The scene in the Boris Karloff movie where the lightning strikes and the mad scientist declares, anybody help me, what does the mad scientist declare? It's alive! It's alive! It's far from the truth because it wasn't really alive. Just because something moves doesn't mean it's alive. And just because you get up and go to work every day doesn't, I mean, you've got a pulse, but are you really alive? Is there really life inside of you? These are really different definitions for me. I mean, we can hook up a frog to some electrical juice and get it to move, but that doesn't mean it's alive. And you can go through the motions, but that doesn't mean you got life inside of you. Can anybody say amen on that?
Amen.
The doctor, he set out to make a better man. But dead things plus dead things do not equal a more noble creation. Dead things don't build a better man. Dead things only bring one thing. Dead things bring death. It's not alive. It's dead. Are we adding dead things to our life? Are we saying, okay, we'll add this dead thing and add this thing and think it's going to bring life to us? Have we created a monster? If you've created a monster today, you are not alone. The Apostle Paul created a monster. Let's read about it. It's Romans 7:5. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law that were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. When he was in the flesh, he said, controlled by the flesh. Let me say it like this. When he was getting life from something other than God. When he was looking for a spark of life from something other than the Lord of life, it bore fruit for death. The language here suggests bearing fruit for death. It suggests that he gave birth to death. In the Bible, Adam and Eve were told to be fruitful and multiply. That was meaning they were supposed to have children. Here, when he talks about bearing fruit for death, it's like I gave birth to death. He gave creation. He created a monster of death. When we are looking for life, that lightning bolt spark from something other than God, it gives birth to a monster. The addict that keeps adding dead things to dead things, that's no way for a better creation, is it? And let me tell you, we always think of drug addicts. You know, we go to that, but there's a lot of addictions in this world. Not just drugs, but how about alcohol? Not just alcohol, how about greed? Some people are addicted to their pride. Some people are addicted to all these things that are sex and pornography. One sexual liaison after one sexual liaison over and over and over again. That's no way to build a better creation. And sooner or later, the monster always starts to call the shots. You would think the Creator would be able to rule over that monster, but the monster we've created ends up ruling over us. What started as an attempt to have a better life ends up destroying life. Dead things plus dead things. In an attempt to find a better life outside of God, we create a monster. And what is this monster? It is a collection of dead parts. We just get some dead things over here. Let's bring them right here. Let's get some dead things over here. Let's just gather all this stuff. And then we stand back and say, look at our life. And some of these things aren't terrible things. Some of these things are, we got a new house. Isn't that wonderful? And we got a new car. Isn't that great? And we got good looking kids. And we got some other bad things in there. But aren't things wonderful? Isn't this a wonderful life? But does this really equal a source of life? Is it really a life? Or is it a bunch of dead things? A destructive, devouring force that can't be satisfied. That's what the monster, Dr. Frankenstein, made. Frankenstein is a reminder that life doesn't always turn out like we plan. The life we try to create sometimes becomes a burden. Maybe that really relates to you. Some of you in this place, you make more money than you ever have, but you feel more burdened. Some of you have a nicer home than you've ever had, but you feel more burdened than you ever have. Why is that? Because the life you're trying to build ends up becoming a burden. Because life can't come from those things. Life comes from another source. The monster was created, but didn't turn to the Creator and say, thank you, Creator, for making me. That was really good. That's really good. I love these bolts. Good job on that. He does not turn to the Creator and thank him. The creature looks to the Creator and starts to demand more. Frankenstein's monster looked at the doctor and he demanded that the doctor make him a bride. So he comes with a list of demands. And when Dr. Frankenstein refuses, the monster retaliates and he kills Victor Frankenstein's wife on their wedding night. That's cold, right? That's cold. To kill his wife anytime is cold, right? But especially your wedding night. You want to know why marriages are dying to divorce? Dead things. Bunch of dead things in our home. Want to know why your children are dying to rebellion and hatred? It's dead things. That's it. Want to know why you feel dead inside? Want to know? You're looking for life in graveyards. You're opening up a new tomb saying, maybe something in here is going to make me happy. Maybe I can get something from this tomb. You're seeking the best this life has to offer. But time out. Do we understand what the best this life has to offer really is? The best this world has to offer ends up in a graveyard. Everyone that walks this earth beside Jesus Christ, no matter how smart they are, no matter how good they are, no matter if they are Republican or Democrat, what nationality, whatever, good looking, bad looking, it doesn't matter. They've all ended up in a graveyard. If you are living this life saying, I want the best this world has to offer, it will end up in a graveyard because this world does not give life. Dr. Frankenstein searched the tombs for the best parts to build his creation. And he looked for the best parts. In this one, I see some strong arms. I can use that one. This one has some good vision, some sharp eyes. And this one has superior intellect. And this one has a sturdy frame. And those are strong legs. And I will take all of these best parts. What a haul. I've got the best this graveyard has to offer. But at the end, what does he really have? Dead things plus dead things. And it equals dead things. The best this world has to offer is a little spark of life before you're buried. Sorry if that bums you out today, but that will save you a lot of heartache. Young Robert, the best this world has to offer you is heartache. Don't look for life from this world. Married couples, don't look for life in the stuff you have because you'll end up yelling at each other and in a divorce court. Redemption Church, our life isn't built on big buildings. Our life isn't built on a 50-voice choir. That is not where life is. It's not found in this world. We have created a monster. Look at somebody, tell them. We've created a monster. This whole world has created a monster. We read Romans 7 earlier. Further down in that chapter, verse 24, the apostle says these words. What a wretched man I am! Exclamation point. I get the feeling he wanted to just scream that in his letter. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? See, I've got all these dead things together and they've made a body, but now I need rescuing from this monster of sin and death. Who will rescue me? Who will rescue me from the monster? If you're seeking a spark of life, can we take some time and tell you where true life comes from? Is that all right? Are you excited about that idea? All right, good. I want you to get excited about this. Life comes from God. That's where life comes from. In Genesis 2, it says, God breathes into man the breath of life. It came from him. And 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his son. Verse 12. He who has the son has life. He who does not have the son of God does not have life. John 14 and 6. Jesus answered them. They had just asked, hey, what can we do in life? Where can we go? What's going to happen? And this is Jesus' answer. Wherever you're going in life and whatever happens, this is the answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Can I remind you, there is a the in front of way. There is a the in front of truth. There is a the in front of life. Jesus is not just one of many ways. He is not just one of many truths. He is not just one of many life sources. He is the way, the truth, the wife, the life, the only way to the Father, to the one who breathed life into us in the very beginning. The only way to him is in Jesus Christ. If you believe that, why don't you clap your hands in this house? We believe it. I rejoice in that. Do you get it? That's my life source. That's my, everywhere else I've looked, it's just a monster waiting to happen. It's just death. It's just depression. It's just suicide waiting to happen. But when I look to Jesus, I find life. Amen. John 10 and 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Not just kind of sort of life. Not just a 50% life. Not just a full, complete, abundant life is found in Jesus. And in John 1:4, speaking of Jesus, it says, in him was life. Hold the phone. Life wasn't just something he gave like, hey, here's some life here. No, life was found inside of him. He is the very embodiment of life. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The next verse, it says that light shines into the darkness. We're all living in a dark death of a world, but that light came and we saw that and what is this light? And we went and we investigated and we found life. God is the only one who can rescue from the monster. Life is only found in his son, Jesus Christ. But I know that, Pastor. I mean, why are you getting all worked up and stuff? I know that life is found only in God. Oh, do we? Do we really know that? Because, I mean, that really is easy to say. But how come during the week we're looking for life in other places? Let's get real. You get your credit card out and you feel a spark of life when you use that credit card. And so you just keep using that and you keep using that. Oh, that's just as bad as any other addiction. Let me tell you, life is found in God. Don't just believe it. Start living that truth. Do you know what we do with dead bodies? Right? You've been to a funeral. You know what happens at the end? We bury the dead. In Acts chapter 2, there was a crowd of people who had chosen death instead of life. That's exactly what they did. These people, after hearing about the source of life, Jesus Christ, they end up asking, what can we do? Peter had just told them, Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, has come to earth. And instead of following him and receiving his life, you killed him. They literally put him on a cross and literally put nails in his hand and literally killed the Son of God. They chose death instead of life. And after hearing this, they were like, okay, this is worse than the time we forgot to pick up milk on the way home. This is bad news. And they end up crying out, what can we do? It's in Acts 2:37. They ask, what can we do? They're looking around. They're yelling. Peter has just told them, what can we do? We're dead. There's no chance for life in this. I'm happy to tell you that there is a good answer to the question, what can we do? If you have been choosing death instead of life, you need to listen up, because here is what Peter said. Acts 2:38. Peter replied to the question, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness, that is the remission and erasing of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's the first thing you have to do with a dead body when you've chosen death? You need to repent. That's what he tells them. The first thing you do is repent. You have to turn away from the graveyard. You have to turn away from the monster. You have to turn away from all the dead parts. You have to stop going after those things. Turn away from the thing that is trying to kill you. Can I remind you that it's the thing that's trying to kill you? When you're telling people to repent, they usually talk about, but that stuff's kind of fun. No, hold on. That stuff has a moment of fun. It says the pleasures of sin last only for a season. But when that short season is over, you are depressed, and you are full of shame, and you are about to take your life. It is destroying you. We're talking about you turning away from the thing that's trying to kill you. Turn away from the thing that you'll never be able to satisfy. You created this monster, and now he just has a list of demands. What I'm really trying to tell you is it should not take much to talk you into this. In fact, I shouldn't have to talk you into saving your life. For some reason in churches, it feels like we have to do that. No, don't you understand? This is killing you. Please today, wake up. Understand that that thing is trying to kill you. Turn away from it. It's turning away from death. Hebrews 6 and 1 tells us about repenting from dead works. Repent from dead works today. The dead things you were trying to get life from, turn away from them. And don't just turn away from them, turn to Jesus. That's what repentance is. It's turning to Jesus. Believe that he is the life you've always wanted. Believe that Jesus Christ has the power to raise you back to life. Believe that he loves you. Believe that he can defeat the monster. Why do I repent? Because I believe these things. Do you believe these things? First, you repent. You reject the monster and you turn to Jesus. Second, you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. It's not enough to just turn away from the sin. You have to turn to Jesus. And as you're turning to Jesus, you start becoming obedient to him. And a part of obedience is this baptism. You need to do something with the dead body. You turned away from the dead body. Now you need to do something with that dead body. And we bury the dead. That's what we do. Baptism is a burial. Scripture says it more than one place, but here's one specific place, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We turn to Christ in repentance and we are baptized into Christ. And what happens at the end? A new life. A new life comes from this. Verse 6, Romans 6, 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin, so that body of dead things, so that collection of a bunch of dead parts that we were trying to get life from, that body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Are you a slave today? Do you have a monster that has demands on your life? Baptism is how you get rid of the monster. When you get rid of that monster, you are crucified with Jesus Christ, and that body of sin is done away with. You want to defeat the monster of death and sin? You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That is what Peter said. It's what the Bible says. Do you believe that? Is there anyone in here that has experienced that? That you have repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus? But let me see your hands. Was that a good day for you? Was that a big day for you? Was that a day you said no more? That was a good day. Are your sins are remitted? And sometimes we don't get that. Your sins are completely washed away. All traces of sin and death are removed from your life. It's a spiritual encounter that happens. And who washes them away? Jesus, the one who loves you. The source of life comes and washes them away. We're going to be having a baptism Sunday this next week. Have you been baptized? If you've not been baptized, you need to be. And maybe, you know, there are reasons why some people want to be rebaptized. It happens in Acts chapter 19. You should check that out. Really, here's the question. If you've not been baptized, what are you waiting for? The Bible clearly tells you to do it. It's time to bury that monster. If you want to talk to us about baptism, we'd love for you to text us at our anonymous text line, 214-856-0550. You can ask us anything. It's anonymous. We won't even know who you are, and we'll just have a little talk with you. We'd love to talk to you about baptism. We have a baptism next Sunday. Baptism Sunday is next Sunday. So get baptized. We love to see people baptized around here, right, Redemption Church?
Amen.
Absolutely. Number one, you repent. Number two, you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And number three, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, also known as the Holy Ghost. You receive that. What's that all about? Well, let me just review. You turn from the monster and you turn to the Savior. You bury the monster and now life comes. You see, God's plan is so good. He doesn't want you to just jump through hoops and remain dead. He doesn't want you to just turn from the monster, bury the monster, but you're still going to die and remain dead yourself. Life comes through the Spirit. You see, you've been looking in all other places for the source of life. You've been looking for a spark here and a spark there and looking in the world for the best that this world has to offer and trying to find life. Let me tell you, life comes through the Spirit. God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit. John 6:63 says it point blank. The Spirit gives life. You don't buy life from the Spirit. You don't live holy enough where God says, all right, I'll give you life. No, it gives it. It's a free gift. Acts 2:38 says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How much do gifts cost us when we receive them? Nothing. Nothing. Someone else buys it and they gift it to you. The Holy Spirit is for you today. It is a source of life. Why don't you decide, I'm going to stop looking for life in other places. And God, I want your Spirit to come give me life. Do you want life today? Do you want to be set free from the monster? Maybe you've been living this Christian life. Great, great. Why don't you recommit to it today? And why don't you come to this altar and pray for other people in your life that are bound by the monster? Sometimes they can't see it and we see it. You know what? When we see it, we always think, well, we'll just go confront them. That's not always the answer, friends. I tell you what the answer is. You get in touch with the source of life that is the Spirit, and you start to pray for them, and you start to love them through the Spirit, and that will bring a death to that monster. You just believe me on it. I'm a witness of it. These altars are open. You can already come. If you want special prayer, you just come in the first 2 feet, and we'll pray with you. We believe in the power of prayer and praying with people. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, no big deal. We're not going to bother you. We want you to spend time talking to God. We've worshiped God together. We've received God's word together. Now it's time to talk to God. Lord, in Jesus' name, we love you, God. We thank you, Lord, for the life we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that that life is in you, God. It is not in the things of this world. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would convict us of our sins. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd bring change to our life, God. Lord, that we would stop looking for a life in the things of this world. Lord, dead things plus dead things only equal dead things,
thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.